Hello, my name is Penny Pepper. I'm an author, poet, journalist, speaker, and activist. Welcome to Penny Thoughts. I'll be talking about writing, other work, and maybe some surprising interests that inspire and intrigue me. From ghost stories to astronomy, Victorian freak shows, actually all things Victorian, to black cats, seaside living, and adventures up the family tree. And don't worry, because there will be more under the Penny microscope, and there will be the odd guest along the way. I'll share my writing and my news. Get comfy, grab a drink, and enjoy the chat. My love for you. My love for you is reckless and insane, but my seething brain seeks no remedy. For you and me, love is a double game. Rules and reasons are too dull and plain, and you're a changing drama like the sea. My love for you is reckless and insane. Loving you is pleasure mixed with pain. You flow and fly, and suddenly I'm free. For you and me, love is a double game. I feel your velvet love inside my veins, the curse of lust, its hold, its ecstasy. My love for you is reckless and insane. In you there's strength, a force I cannot tame, but at your core red vulnerability. For you and me, love is a double game. You love me inside out and back again, till I can't tell the truth. Who's you? Who's me? My love for you is reckless and insane. For you and me, love is a double game. Hello, everyone. Welcome to the third edition of Penny Thoughts podcast. This edition is going to be focused very broadly around Valentine's Day. And there's a big surprise at the end when I revisit my interview with our own absolute superstar and very lovely person, Liz Carr. But before that, we will have some poems, as with the one you just heard, which comes from my collection, Come Home Alive. Still out there, published by the amazing and very marvellous Burning Eye Books. And I must stop saying marvellous. I'm going to just share a few little bits of news. I have big news in the pipeline and I cannot possibly tell you about it, because I might have to boil you in oil or something. My Byline Times is out for the February column. And as I joke, the unofficial title would be When Penny Almost Met Boris, as in Johnson. So do give that a little check out if you can. And I'm going to be going quarterly, I think, for my podcasts, because I am so happy and busy and lucky to be doing this thing I love, writing lots and lots. But I won't go away. I will be here with Penny Thoughts. So please keep sharing. It's very appreciated. And now we are going to go on to a few poems, one more of mine, and two by other poets. A poem by the French poet Baudelaire. Yes, he's been loved by many outsider types. He is rather special. I have a love-hate relationship with him. I did think he was appropriate French after all, so I just found one at random, and it's called The Wine of Lovers. Space rolls today, her splendour round, unbridled, spurless, without bound. Mount we upon the wings of wine for skies fantastic and divine. Let us, like angels tortured by some wild delirious fantasy, follow the far-off mirage born in the blue crystal of the morn. and gently balanced on the wing of the wild whirlwind, we will ride, rejoicing the joyous thing. My sister, floating by my side, fly we unceasing, whither gleams the distant heaven of my dreams. The next poem is by Thomas Hardy, which most people don't realise. Well, some people don't realise what a great poet he was, and he could turn his hand to anything. And I love Thomas Hardy for 100,000 million reasons. And I found this lovely little piece, which is called A Church Romance, Mellstock, circa 1835. She turned in the high pew until her sight swept the west gallery and caught in row of music men with viol, book and bow against the sinking sad tower window light. She turned again, and in her pride's despite, one strenuous viola's inspirus seemed to throw a message from his string to her below, which said, I claim thee as my own forthright. Thus their heart's bond began in due time signed, and long years thence, when age had scared romance at some old attitude of his, or glance that gallery scene would break upon her mind, with him as minstrel, ardent, young and trim, bowing New Sabbath or Mount Ephraim. Now I'm going to do a saucy poem of mine to lift the mood a bit, which I've performed this many times, and I always love hearing whether you've seen me perform and whether you've heard this poem. Cheeky, it's cheeky. A spoken word love poem. Candlelight and stars making patterns quiver on the sea in a restaurant by Hastings Pier. I toy with my mackerel, full of thoughts of when it swam in its happy swimmy sea. My lover's blue eyes catch mine, now misty hazel from Merlot. He lifts my hand across the frosty linen tablecloth and says, I wrote you a poem. I blush above my fish floating on the briny white plate. Tell me now, I sigh, what poetry lurks in that head behind those glinting eyes? What words will come from the upturn of your sweet mouth? I still my breath. The stars pause in their tiny brilliance. The world waits. Tits, he says, I love your tits. Your bestest bits is your tits. Fit tits, pert tits, tits to rate. Your tits are fucking great. I spear the cold mackerel through its belly, heart chilled and shaking, and wonder at the world. So I think after all that fairly mushy stuff, I'm not sure Baudelaire's a bit of a beast. And as for my poem, well, the last one, I hope that made you smile. But we're moving on from that, and now we're going into the spooky tale of the podcast. Now, as you know, I live in Hastings. It's a very beautiful, quirky, mostly sunny place, actually. And we have a ruined castle that was built by William the Conqueror. It's true. It's very romantic. And it's also known for its ghosts. I'm going to try and share as many local ghost stories as I can. But I thought it was appropriate to tell you some sad ones that involve heartbroken lovers, because it's a thing, isn't it? So up at the castle, which is on the West Hill, it's a very romantic, often foggy place. It's ripe for ghosts, and that certain time of day when the light's fading. Many people have seen this woman with a baby in her arms, and she hovers around and then moves very, very firmly with the baby in her arms towards the cliff edge, as if she's jumped off. Now, there are a lot of stories around this, that this is possibly a woman who was abandoned by her fisherman lover after giving birth to an illegitimate daughter. And as often happens in these tales, she jumps and commits suicide. There's often a poor young girl in these things with an unwanted infant. And if you look into the Hastings archives, you will find many of these cliff jump suicides. It's very sad. We also do have a lover's seat up near the castle, just to be a little more cheery. But these ghosts are there, and they're many, many interpretations. This woman with the child, sometimes it's a child, a toddler, and they're often both seen as dressed in brown. Some say one looks like a nun. There's a whole secondary story there. And some say Victorian. Oh, I would love to see her. I would love to see this ghost. Who knows? The castle's vaguely accessible in certain parts, but that's for another story on another edition. So, moving out of ghosts and the mushy poems, I think now is the time to tell you my passion of the month. Yes, today's passion, my secret hobby, my secret interest, is doing family trees, the old ancestry and genealogy. Like most people, I have a very exotic and complicated family tree, and I can tell you now, this is true for most people. There's things you find that are shocking, which shouldn't be. Like so and so, back in the day, 1880s, wasn't married, only pretended to be married. Children weren't baptized or registered. I want to go back even earlier than that to tell you the story of my ancestors, who around the turn of the 19th century had this most remarkable story that could have ended in tragedy. There are tragic aspects. So let me introduce you to George Oxford, whose dad was a black sailor. And George was dual heritage. His mother was born in West Sussex. I've got their baptism records. I've got George's baptism records. But how they moved around. They moved around a lot, and eventually Daddy took them to Birmingham, where George became quite famous in his own way for making jewellery or gold chasing, which I believe is doing work onto leather in gold. And he met the innkeeper's daughter, the very beautiful Hannah Marklew, who had auburn hair. Important point that. Now, their courtship seems instantaneously quite stormy. He would burn money in front of her. He threatened to cut his own throat if she didn't marry him. But clearly, something happened, because they did get married and they had children, as was the way in those days. They didn't all live. And sadly, and this is for another episode, I promise, one of their children was called Edward Oxford, and he was the first person to try and shoot Queen Victoria. I believe he was probably bipolar, and his story is for another day. But I love the idea of George and Hannah just waltzing around in the first flush of their passion and love and being happy. He was a troubled individual, probably an alcoholic from a young age, and he only lived to 31. They did get married at Langham Place, which I believe is right near the BBC building. So much mystery remains. But I love that I can share that with you. And I found all that out from studying family tree sites. It was known in the family. It was a bit of a dark sort of secret that we had this guy who tried to, his relative, he tried to shoot Queen Victoria. But I love all the other details, and it's perfect for Valentine's. And to end things off, I'm now going to go back to when I had a wonderful chat with a very special person. No prizes for guessing, but please enjoy this little Valentine pick you up with me and Liz Carr. Hello, Liz.
Hi, Pen.
Are we going to talk about Valentine's Day?
We can talk about anything you want, but Valentine's is coming up.
Do you and your lovely other half?
Yes.
Do Valentine's?
Yes.
Madly?
No. No, we don't, but then we would celebrate anything. I think there's the whole crit thing of, you know, appreciating everything and celebrating everything and being happy to be alive. So we
absolutely
do. So we have, you know, the day that we met, the day that we first whatevered, the day that we, it's first date, first met, first slept together, you know, yeah.
And do you remember that?
Yeah, I remember all those things. I do, I remember the biggies. I was thinking, what did we do last year for Valentine's? Usually nice food, being cosy, being together, yeah, but we also do romantic things or thinking of each other things that aren't about that day, and I think that's what you're saying. It's like, why should it be this one day? And of course, there is that pressure. You know, before I was with a partner, before I was with Joe, it's a day where you just feel a bit inept. I don't know whether you should or you shouldn't, it's a different matter, but I did, because you feel I'm missing that one thing that I'm being told I should have today, because love's being so glorified in that day. You know, and so I think it is a problematic day.
I suppose that's it. It's that inherent pressure to buy the biggest card. Mind you, my other half, Kevin, has booked. We're going to, this will make you pull a face. It will make Liz Carr pull a face. We're going to a jazz evening.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Does he love you?
Yeah, hopefully it's nice, tuneful jazz.
Right.
I'll have to report next month on how we got on. And we're going for an Italian.
It's very nice.
So we will be, and it is our 10th year anniversary, roughly. So
I like the roughly there.
Well, because I can't remember exactly the day we met. I know that he asked me out, and I said no.
So the
Do
roughly.
You remember that? Do you remember the first time Joe asked you out?
Oh, yeah. But that's, we were doing everything on text, so we sort of got it together.
I vaguely remember
at a friend's leaving do.
Oh, it's funny you say about texting, though, because I think that kind of thing's quite good for crips. Kevin chatted me up through Messenger on Facebook.
Yeah.
Because you've actually got some barriers removed, weirdly, in that way. But thank you, Liz, as always. Can you give one last words of wisdom around romance?
Romance.
Just one.
Romance, I think.
Love, the
tiniest things mean the most. And one of the things that I love most, and it's priceless, is holding hands with my wife. That's it. That's the time. I feel really close to her. I love doing it. I completely feel in love with her. It doesn't cost anything. There's no pressure. We can do it every day. It's just weird. But, yeah, those teeny tiny things are more than all the cards and the chocolates. And
I agree. And we don't often get that naturally in our lives at times, the holding and touching.
No, and I think, you know, and I say that also knowing that I was not in a long-term relationship till my mid-30s. So I also get how painful Valentine's can be, in which case, buy the stuff for yourself. Buy those ridiculously shaped boxes if you want. Otherwise, just buy a big box of dairy milk or whatever your vegan alternative is or whatever it is. Buy it for you, because that's the other thing. It's like, bugger it. You're being told when to celebrate it. Celebrate yourself.
I totally agree with that, Liz. And thank you very much.
Thanks
for being part of Penny Thoughts. Thank you, as always, for joining me on the Penny Thoughts podcast. I will see you again soon, and I do hope you enjoyed all this Valentine's stuff. Have a wonderful day yourself. And as Liz says somewhere, buy your own chocolates, enjoy them, and practice some of that much-needed self-love. It's just as important. Big love to you all, and I'll be back in the summer. Bye for now. Thank you for listening to my podcast and for your interest in my writing. If you can subscribe, it's very appreciated. I'll see you on the next episode. You'll find me on Instagram at ThePennyPepper. Twitter at PenPep, Facebook at PennyPepperWriter, and my website pennypepper.co.uk. The Penny Thoughts podcast and music was written by Penny Pepper and produced by Emma Sheehan.